With. So, well, God bless your hearts. I'm going to get into living the adventure of a lifetime. And a number of years ago, Jeannie and I embarked on a journey that perhaps many would say was probably a journey of a lifetime. I know for us it was a very, very special time. And it was back in 1979 or 80, we went to the Bible Lands.
Yeah, what a journey.
Jeannie was fearing, what journey is he going to talk about? We've had a number of journeys, adventures in traveling, but this one stands out the most. For us to go on to New York, we joined with a group of about 30 people. And a gentleman by the name of John Somerville coordinated this event. And in fact, he has been over there over 50 times, I think. Not this, I'm talking today, but back then, I don't know how many times he had been over there previous. But we went over there and we went to Egypt, we went to Israel, went to Jordan. I think we were every place that Jesus was during his life, or most of it anyway, and it was a big deal. I had some gold coins that my grandfather gave to me, and I know he wanted me to hold on to them because they were very special, but I went ahead and used that to cover the trip, part of the trip. And I didn't tell him right away, but you know, it was worth it to me. You know, I'd rather, you know, instead of these things being there and maybe never using them or spending them and passing them on, let's use it for a good cause. And it was a great cause. But man, just to think about that, you went to the places like the Pool of Siloam there. You know, we went to there where some great miracles occurred. Bethlehem. We went to the Sea of Galilee, which is beautiful. And at that time, there was a few little towns around that area. It was still open countryside, so a very beautiful place. And Jesus spent a lot of time there. And to think that I might have walked on the same ground. Well, I touched the Sea of Galilee, the water there that he walked on. So, I don't know if it was the same water, but I didn't try. So, but I think you're going to see that it was a very special, special time, and definitely could be called an adventure of a lifetime. But you know, everything we do is kind of an adventure if you think about it. You know, as a child growing up, just to learn to walk is an adventure. An adventure is doing something many times that you haven't done that involves risk or danger, maybe. You know, and you're here, you're trying to walk. That's pretty risky for a little folks, you know, little guys. What about crossing the street for the first time? That's an adventure. I remember as a kid doing that and having cars screech to a stop. I must have had some angels watching over me because I wasn't very successful at crossing streets in my early days. Riding a bike. Now that's quite an adventure, right? First time you're riding a bike and everything, going all over the place. Going to school. That's an adventure. First time going to school. Remember kindergarten or something? It was pretty, a little shaky there at first, huh? What about your first date? Now, that was pretty shaky. I think I was like 17 or something. No. But life is an adventure, isn't it? It really is. As we grow and learn and get involved with life, life is an adventure. Perhaps the most dramatic experience that I've had in my life was when I was 12 years old. And I was watching a Disney program about events that would occur hundreds and hundreds of years later. They call it Tomorrowland, where they would share about cities under the ocean or in the deserts and stuff like that. And at that age, prior to that age, I didn't think about life or death or anything. You just live life, you eat and play and have fun and have your parents get on you a little bit, but you just have a good old time. But there, you reach a point where you think about life and death. Or is there really a God? Is there a heaven and hell? What is the truth? And I was 12 years old, and that stark reality hit me watching this program, because I thought, I will not be alive then. You know, nobody lives to be 200 or 300 years old. And I cried all night long. It hit me like a brick. And from that time on, I endeavored to find what is life about? Is there really a God? And as years went by, I would go to different churches, read different philosophies. I don't know if you ever heard of Ayn Rand, but I was into her stuff, you know, later in high school. Just anything and everything that I could find that kind of fit, that made sense. But when I was 20 years old, playing basketball at East Carolina University, they recruited this guy from Cleveland, Ohio. He was a junior college transfer, came in, and he lived across the hall. My roommate was a 6'10 guy, big guy, and so... He was across the hall, and we got to know each other, and we became good friends. And the more I knew him, there's something about him. I mean, he had a real sense of confidence about himself, just real solid personality. And so we were talking, and he told me about God and God's Word, and that it fit like a hand in a glove, that it really made sense, that it has more logic than anything else. And that got me, because I went to all these different Christian churches and they all had different things and ideas about the same Bible. How could that be true if you have all these different translations and different interpretations of one verse? And then he shared with me the keys that are in the Bible so that you can understand the Word of God and apply it. And so that changed my life. That was an answer to a prayer that I initiated when I was 12 years old. And for me, that started the greatest adventure in my life. And I believe the greatest adventure in anybody's life is to know God and fellowship with Him. To have a relationship with God Almighty. A real relationship. You know, I thought, when I was younger, I thought, wouldn't it be neat to meet famous people? You know, get involved and be a part of people that have been recognized as renowned people. And, you know, I didn't meet too many folks like that, but I thought, wow, it'd be neat to meet the president and stuff. I worked with a gentleman, he was a professor at the college that I helped run his election for the House of Congress. And he didn't win, but later on in life, he became a senator out of North Carolina. And so I thought, man, I had the opportunity to meet this guy and be a part of his early success. But you know what? Can you beat God as somebody of renown who's famous? Who's done more than anybody else? And I had a relationship with him. And his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And I also had a relationship with his word. And another relationship too, that this is something I'm going to really work on more and more. This is maybe a New Year's resolution, if you will. But a relationship with the one body of Christ. a family of believers, other people that love God and His Word and want to do His will. I think that's really important, to engage in that relationship, the one body, believers working together. So, and it all started with a desire, an adventure, if you will, to live life. Let's look at 1 Peter here. It all started right here when I got born again. My first life started when I got born out of my mother's womb. But the adventure for a lifetime started when I got born again of God's Spirit. So it says in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. First birth was corruptible. This second one was incorruptible. And it came by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. All the famous people. You know, everybody wants to be a part of something, to become famous. You know, like Dancing with the Stars. Oh man, if I could, you know, be one of those folks. Or American Idol. Everybody looks up to the American Idol winner, right? Oh my golly, that person's got it made. No. Born again believers got it made. That's the greatest thing you could ever aspire to. Being born again of God's Spirit. Hey, everything else is like the grass. The glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falls away. It falls away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word of God which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wow. You know, it's God's word. Our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Look at 1 John. 1 Peter, just move on over to 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. A fellowship one with another and with God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now the Greek word for fellowship is koneos. Is that how you pronounce it? Koneos. There's koinonia, that's it. That's a better pronunciation, koinonia. I don't know if that's the verb or noun form. But that's that fellowship. Partaking together with is what that means. Fellowship. To live a fellowship with God Almighty and His Son. Pretty neat. Look at Philippians. To look at some of these other verses about fellowship. This is the adventure of a lifetime, folks. To live with God, with His Son, with the Word of God, with the body of believers. Philippians 1, verse 4. Okay. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. I remember when I first learned God's word, what a great experience that I had there. And man, I want to maintain that fellowship in God's word. This is one of the greatest fellowships you can have, is with God's word. You know, are you spending time with your word? See, we want to spend time with God's Word because this is life. Well, isn't there a verse about that? The bread of life, God's Word. Man, oh man. So we want to have fellowship with the gospel, with the Word of God. For your fellowship is in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident that of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, or a better translation, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. Pretty neat. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Fellowship. That's the adventure of a lifetime, is fellowship with God. Fellowship with His Son. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called. God is the one who has called you. God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, He's called you, and He's faithful unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have fellowship with Him. We have Christ in us. We are all that He is, today, now, and forever. You find out who Jesus Christ is, and you find out who you are. That's why we've got to renew our mind. We've got to fellowship with God's Word so we can know who we are in Christ. And this next verse, if we do that, now I beseech you, and this is the doing of it, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment or opinions. Boy, this is where we want to get. The same mind, the mind of Christ. Wow. See, that's living the adventure of a lifetime. Tremendous. All right. Let's go to Philippians. We were there before, but let's go back there to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, you know what? We wanted to go to 2 Peter. So keep going if you're at Philippians. Keep turning your pages to go to 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these being what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. That's the word koinonia. Partakers, to partake of. To fully partake of that. And we've got the promises of God, God's Word, which are exceeding great and precious promises, so we use those so we can be partakers of a, what kind of a nature? A divine nature, a godly nature. We are godly men and women. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, desires, envying for power. We don't do that. We don't do that. We've got God's exceeding great and precious promises so that we can live a divine nature, live by Him. I tell you what, let's just go to 2 Corinthians. Let's do that. We're going to close here. But Jeannie's going to share some things from God's Word with you in a moment here. But first, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the last verse here. The last verse in God's Word as far as 2 Corinthians is concerned. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. The word communion is koinonia. And it's translated that other places as communion. Okay? Fellowship, partaking, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Great salutation here. See, we have the fellowship of the gift of Holy Spirit that's with us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We have the love of God. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Romans 5:5. So it's with the love of God that we can live this adventure for a lifetime and really live it to its fullest, because we've got to have the love of God. Without it, everything else is nothing. So Jeannie's going to share with us a little bit about
the love of God.
The love of God. All right, Jeannie.
The greatest gift that we can give any man or woman is the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is probably the verse you'll hear most during this holiday time. And most people probably don't even understand it. Because when Jesus Christ gave his life, he gave it so that we could understand the Father, that we could know the Father, and the Father's true nature is love. And people, during this Christmas time, people want to give gifts. And I'm kind of a humbug about it, because I feel like if someone needs a gift, I'd be glad to give it to them when they need it. Not because the world's telling me I need to give a gift. But the greatest gift that we can give anyone is the love of God. And that's something that every man, woman, child seeks after. And we can only know the love of God is through his word. And I wanted to look at just a couple sections in God's word in John 17 and then 1 John. And let's turn to John 17, verse 20. Because if we don't understand the love of God, we're never going to really understand our position as God's children. And that's the love of God is how we can reach people. People want to see your heart, your love, before they will ever open this book. Because so many people have taken the book and beaten people over the head by it and told them, this is the rules, and if you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. My wonderful mother still does not recognize us being married because we weren't married in the Catholic Church. And it's really amazing because she knows only what she was taught. And religion basically is a way of man trying to find God through their own works. And Jesus Christ isn't a part of it, because we love not because we're so great, it's because God loved us. We had nothing to do with it. He chose us because of his tremendous love. His sole desire was to have a family. So if we can understand God's love, and all of our prayers are about God's love, our heart's desire is to understand his love, then we understand God's love, then we can accept it to love ourselves, and then we can love one another. If we don't accept God's love, then there's no way we're going to love one another. And if we can live in that realm of love, we're going to live in the realm of the miraculous, because that's God's world. We don't have to deal with the world anymore. Bar Easter, I can understand him having that challenge of, I blew it for 10 years. I left everything. And what the adversary does is he hits us in our weakest points, and he tries to wipe us out. And when we start to condemn ourselves, we can't forgive ourselves, that's when he can kind of, the attack begins. But God so loved us that he gave his Son, not because we went on our knees 24 hours a day and begged him. He loved us because he loves the whole world. His whole desire is for every man, woman, and child to receive the word of God. It's no respecter of hair color or color of skin or anything else. He created the whole world for us. And we need to understand his love so that we can love and know him fully. John 17, verse 20. Jesus Christ was saying his last conversation with God before he was taken away to die, to suffer and die for us. And he was praying for us. the pretty amazing thing. And the book of John is about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And if you have time today, I really would, I think you'd be blessed to read this gospel, the chapter John 17. It's his heart to his Father. And that's what our prayer should be, just talking to God. It's nothing rote that you memorize. It's all about opening our hearts to God. But I'm going to read the Amplified version from verse 20, and you know, you can read the King James or whatever version you have. And I think it'll bless you. It certainly blessed me. It says, "Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in me through their word and teaching." That's us. All those others that will come. "So that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me, and that you have loved me even as you have loved them even as you have loved me." His desire was so that we would know that same love and that the world would see that Christ in us and that love of the Father. "Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted in me, your gift to me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me, for you love me before the foundation of the world, that they may see my glory, that the world would see Jesus Christ's glory." And today, whose glory do we have? It's Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So we are glorified because the Son is in us. "O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually, and these men understand and know that you have sent me." We are those men. We know that God has sent him. I made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them." That we may know that same love that Jesus Christ had with God. That same love is in us. It's not a new kind of love. It's something different than what that relationship. It's God and Christ in us. God was reconciled. God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled the world. Jesus Christ represented the Father. And his ministry, his life, was all about love. I think at the very end of his life when he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." These are the people that crucified him. And another wonderful example was when he was walking and there was a funeral procession. And there was a widow woman that her son had died. And he stopped them and he said, "Son, get out of that box." And why? Because of the love for that mother. And we can have that exact same love for one another. And we need to show that. We need to get out of the boat, quit worrying about what people think of us, and think about who we are. It's Christ in each one of us. God in Christ in each one of us. And we have the DNA of Jesus Christ. We have everything that Jesus Christ had. So we can have that compassion. But we have to change our thinking. If we're thinking of ourselves as this fleshly person, yeah, we're going to wait for people to acknowledge us and pat us on the back. But we have a mission. We're here to replicate Jesus Christ and reproduce his actions. Do you have the newsletter? In the newsletter, it's on your seats. In the back we have, or in the section, page 3, we have some love notes, which is from Kenyon's The New Kind of Love book. And this was just, I shared a little bit at the couples fellowship on this, but one of the one-liners here is, when selfishness is eliminated in us and love gains the ascendancy, we will not seek our own any longer. We will seek only the Father's will, which will be the best interest of all God's children. God gave you his own nature. He made you a new creation. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The real lover is taking Jesus' place in life. He is a reproduction of Jesus. He is the carrying out of the dreams and will of the Father, as Jesus did. We, each one of us, are carrying out the dreams and will of the Father. Isn't that fabulous? And that's what the world needs to see. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. But if we can just see in our own lives how much God loves us, and when the thoughts come, well, you know, but I remember the time, you know, we can always hear the adversary's voices. We need to start listening for God's voice. And if we don't have God's voice from his word in our heads, we're going to always hear those other words, because we're never without a thought in our minds. I wish someday we could be. We just, maybe we need to be men to have that nothing box, but but I don't think it, even in the nothing box, that there's absolutely nothing going on there. Someday we're going to put the couples fellowship on the teachings on the website, I think. But it's just really exciting. If you don't understand, then ask me later. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, in the Amplified, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. That we should be permitted and called and counted. You are counted as a child of God. He knows every one of us. I bet if we asked him right now, he could tell us how many he has. You know, he knows every one of us. He knows every need that any of us have. And that's why he says, be anxious for not one thing, because he's got it covered. All we have to figure out is how to get out of the way so he can take care of us. We had a manifestation, I think it was last Sunday, and Barney shared on the love of God, and that's what kind of got me thinking about it. But God said, just get to know me, will you please? Wow. That was in the manifestation. Just get to know me, will you please? Get to know the intimacy of the relationship. It's God and Christ in you. But if we don't open ourselves, make ourselves available to know, then we're not going to know. So we are counted the children of God, and so we are. This very moment, we are the children of God. We don't have to earn it. We received it with that when we got born again. The reason that the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children, and it does not yet disclose, made it is not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him, for we shall see him just as he really is. And everyone who has this hope, resting on him, cleanses himself just as he is pure, undefiled, guiltless. We are undefiled, we are guiltless. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and this is Amplified. Little children, you are of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated and overcome them, because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who is in the world. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Actually, let's go to verse 6. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively, to perceive, recognize, and understand God by observation, experience, and to get an even clearer knowledge of him, listens to us. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, we don't just grasp this whole identity of who we are in a moment's time. It's a progressive thing. I don't know if you've ever been to a progressive dinner where you go one place for the appetizer and the entree and dessert and everything. It's a fun experience. Well, all of life is a fun experience. And we learn from one another. And we progressively understand God. We get to know Him. We learn one thing. Like today I was just thinking about this, and then God reminded me, well, the book of John is the famous about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and this is how a Son of God prays. Mm-hmm. Little things like that. He's always going to tell us things that expand our understanding. Beloved, let us love one another, verse 7. For love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow men is begotten of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God and to recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God and does not and never did know him, for God is love. He who does not love has not been acquainted with God. There's a lot of people that are not acquainted with God. They're acquainted with fear. And there's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. That's where we come in. We represent God today through Jesus Christ. We've got to show that love and that compassion. Like, we have to continue to pray for Bart Easter, continue to pray for one another, to see each other and just love each other. Yeah. So it's really wonderful. Let's look in verse, I know our time's getting short. Let's look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. The love of God turns fear out of doors, it says. When a thief comes to your house, do you open the door, offer him a cup of tea? No, you shut the door. The love of God shuts the door of fear. We don't have to have fear anymore because we have a Heavenly Father that's never too busy for each one of us and every need on in any of our hearts. That's the love of God. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And most people in religion are afraid. The reason they stay with the religion is because of fear. Their fear of going to hell, of burning, as my mom would say. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us. And if we can just continue to grow in that love and share that with others, and God says he will give us the words to speak to those that are hungering. And there are many that are hungering. And he just wants us to allow him to work in our lives. So that's my sharing today.
Okay, so that's how you're going to live the adventure of a lifetime, living it with the love of God. What a great excitement, huh? Look what you got to look forward to the rest of your life until Christ comes back. Great adventure. Mm-hmm. We've got a song we'd like to close out with. Another song that's on this children's album.
When I look at you, I see a blessed child of the everlasting God.
When I look at you, I see you as God says you are.
When I speak of you, I'm talking about my brother.
I'm talking about my sister.
When I speak of you, I tell them who God says you are.
We share one faith
in one Lord,
and in one body we wait for his return. Now with one mind one mouth, we can glorify God, our Heavenly Father. When I think of you, I think of you as righteous.
I think of you as holy.
When I think of you, I think of who God says you are.
We share one faith
in one Lord,
and in one body we wait for His return. Now with one mind and one mouth, we can glorify God, our Heavenly Father.
When I think of you, I think of you as righteous.
I think of you as holy.
When I think of you, I think of who God says you are. I think of who God says you are.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can have this wonderful relationship with one another, that we can build each other up, that we can think of each other as your children and as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you that each one of us can just enjoy the fullness of being a part of this family, and that we can see your love just grow and grow in our hearts and in our desire to see your word move. I thank you for blessing your people this day here and for just calling us all to be a part of this one body of Christ. I thank you for your awesome love and grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, bless your hearts. Live the adventure.